Coming to you live from a very cool corner of Midtown Sacramento, it's the Nate Darling Show with Sam Platts and Kareem Daniels there. And now, a man who does things because he can. Here's Nate.
Yeah, Sam forgot we had a show. He forgot.
Damn hipsters.
I know, right? And he's like, oh, I haven't checked my email since Friday. It's Monday. Who doesn't check their email for 3 days? I mean, come on. It comes right to your phone.
He was the person that told me last week that we were having a show.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's like you can't believe anybody. Don't trust Whitey. I believe that was a famous thing from The Jerk. All right, coming up on the show, this is our Boxing Day show, by the way. Hope everybody enjoyed the Christmas music spectacular. Hope you had a great Christmas. Yeah, so Boxing Day is today, the day the show drops. And if you're not familiar with Boxing Day, it is a holiday traditionally celebrated the day after Christmas when servants and tradespeople would receive gifts known as a Christmas box from their bosses or employers. That's according to Wikipedia.
Oh, really?
Yeah. In the UK, Canada, Hong Kong, Australia, New Zealand, Kenya, South Africa, Guyana, Trinidad and Tobago, Jamaica, and other Commonwealth nations, as well as Norway, the Netherlands, and Sweden, Boxing Day is a bank holiday that generally takes place on December 26th. So, yeah. And if you're in Canada, I know they have Boxing Week sales. So it's gone from a day to a week, and it's just a chance to sell off all the shit you didn't buy for Christmas. So, happy Boxing Day, everybody. I might actually hit a Boxing Day sale while I'm back in Vermont. While you're hearing this, I'm back in Vermont.
You're going to go to Canada, too?
I plan on going to Canada, yeah. At least step across the border for a little bit, as my dad lives about 20 miles from the Canadian border. So it's not too long a trip at all. So, fun times to go up there, pick up some things, like some packets of poutine gravy so I can make poutine in a proper manner.
The fuck is poutine?
Poutine is a French-Canadian delicacy made up of French fries, cheese curds, and you can go with brown gravy, but it's better if you have the actual poutine sauce. And they sell it in packets so I can mix it up fresh.
Poutine sauce, okay.
Yeah. They sell it. Here's the thing. There's a place called the Spud Shack in Old Sac. And they've got different potato things from around the world. And they say they have poutine. And it's not. It's French fries, mozzarella cheese, and gravy. And that's not it at all. Has to be cheese curds. So it's a little bit different.
What the hell is cheese curds?
It's
cheese turds?
No. It's a type of cheddar that isn't fully processed. So when you it'll actually squeak on your teeth when you eat it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's delightful stuff.
I'm going to take your word for that.
I will hopefully be hitting some sort of Boxing Day sale in Canada. And hopefully the flights will go well. Last year I had a big what's-its deal with the flights and all, but this year I'm confident, knock on wood, that
the weather's supposed to be bad back there starting tomorrow, is it?
Yeah, but it's rain. The forecast is for rain and 50. So, as I look at this, I'm flying through New York, and when I land in New York Wednesday, it's supposed to be 55 and raining. So unless it gets really weird somewhere else, I should be okay. So that's that. What have you been up to, Kareem? You had to skedaddle and pick up your woman from the airport last week. So
yeah, so we picked her up from the airport. I got interviewed by Becca on Saturday.
Okay.
For the news and reviews. So I'll be in 15 minutes on the 9th, the January 9th news and review.
Okay.
I had a meeting for the art exhibit with the artist. And I saw one of the last poets perform Saturday night.
Okay.
So that was cool.
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah.
I finally got to see Adam Carolla.
Went
to
San
Jose. It was a blast because it was the whole podcast, and they had two guests. They had Brad Williams and Adam Ray, who are stand-ups, and Brad Williams is a little person stand-up.
Okay.
And he, at one point, they were talking about how strong he is, and he's like, oh, no, I can do hella push-ups. And everybody was sort of half believing him. So Brad Williams gets down on stage, and he's like hammering out push-ups, one, and then goes to one-handed push-ups, switches sides to the other side, then does the clapping push-ups.
Well, you don't have that far to go.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, it was crazy. There was a midget doing push-ups on stage. I got my picture taken with Corolla, then my picture taken with Bald Brian, who does sound effects on the show.
Cool. I think I saw the picture of you with those two.
Yeah, Bald Brian, if you're not familiar with, let me see if I can find the drops. Oh, yeah, here we go. This is Bald Brian.
Nate, you're 100% right.
Yeah, he's been on the show before, so good guys. It was a fun show, San Jose Improv, and yeah, have you been to the Improv in San Jose?
No.
It's really an old-timey theater. You've got the stage, and then you've got a few tables, and then it's graduated upward seating, and there's a balcony, too.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so it's really a cool little venue, but I guess it seats like 350 or 400 people in there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it packs a pretty good show. So they sold out two podcast tapings, the early one that I went to, and then they had a second one with Joe Coy for their late show. So finally got to see that, and yeah, it was a good time. But yeah, making up for not seeing the Cache Creek show that you can get on the plane for. Diana, as you'll notice, not with us again. She's working retail this holiday season.
I hope she didn't. I hope she sold four shoes today.
No, I hope she sold three.
Just enough to piss her off for having to be at work for 8 hours.
Yeah, we have some recordings of Diana doing some work.
I'm Wicked Burger King, making flavor whoppers. I wear paper hats. Would you like an apple pie with that? Would you like an apple pie with that? Ding, fries are done. Ding, fries are done. Ding, fries are done. Ding, fries are done. I gotta run. I gotta run. I gotta run. I gotta run. Don't bump your fries in hot fat. It really hurt bad and so the skin grabbed. Would you like an apple pie with that? Would you like an apple pie with that? Where is the bell? Wait for the bell.
I'm sorry. That's not Diana. That's the ding fries. Are done. Retail, food service, whatever. So with the holiday season passing us by, today the first day of Kwanzaa.
Yes, I think that's Umojo.
I don't know.
I think it is.
I just looked at my calendar and it said first day of Kwanzaa. So one of the things I did on the Christmas Music Spectacular was pay tribute to the 25th anniversary of National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Okay. 25 years.
Yes.
Wow.
1989. Here are some of the clips that that were not included in the Christmas Spectacular from the movie.
Thank you. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Kiss my ass. Kiss his ass. Kiss your ass. Happy Hanukkah.
One. Is Rusty still in the Navy?
Aunt Bethany, why don't you go with Francis and Catherine into the living room and say hello to everybody?
Hello, everybody.
Just in the living room.
You should say it.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Mom, what?
This box is meowing.
Let me see it. Shut up. She wrapped up her damn cat.
Take it in the kitchen and open it up.
Then we'll have a cat running around the house.
You can't leave it in the box.
Why would somebody wrap up a cat in a box?
She gets confused, Rusty. She's old. She and Uncle Lewis don't have much money, so she takes things from around the house, wraps them up, gives them away as presents.
Great. Can't wait to see what I got.
Listen here, it's leaking. It's lime.
That would be her Jell-O mold. I'll take it, Eddie. Why don't you go back in the living room and enjoy yourself, Russ?
Oh, wow.
Here's another great one.
Cook, can I refill your eggnog for you? Get you something to eat? Drive you out to the middle of nowhere? Leave you for dead?
No, I'm doing just fine, Clark.
Here's the getting ready for the family.
I don't know what to say, except it's Christmas and we're all in misery.
Alan?
Trip to the mall.
It is. It's a bit nipply out. I mean nippy out. What did I say, nipple? There is a nip in the air, though.
Can I take something out for you?
I was just looking at something for my wife. God rest her soul.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry.
Oh, no, she's not dead. We're just divorced. She's history. And obviously she doesn't wear underwear, and there are plenty of shopping days left until adulthood, which is to say Christmas, as in Yule log. Not a log. I don't have a log, but I mean, you know, just, if I had a log, not in the sense that you think I said I did. Oh, good golly. 'Tis the season to be merry.
Oh, and they cut it off before the best line. She goes, that's my name. And he goes, no shit. And finally this.
Around you, Ellen. We're at the threshold of hell.
So, yeah, the 25 years. God.
It feels like it should be longer.
Well, 1989. So that would mean the first George Bush was in his first year of being president.
I was graduating from high school.
Yeah, right?
Yes.
It was a long time ago.
Man. This
sort of thing didn't happen back then. There was a guy. Now, have you ever been in a situation where you've overheard a couple fighting?
Yes.
And to the point where they break up?
Yes.
Okay. This is what happened to this guy, and he decided to live tweet it.
Uh-oh.
So his name is Kyle Ayers, and I'm just going to read through his tweets. Said, a couple is breaking up on my roof right now. I was just trying to enjoy the view. Now I will live tweet the breakup. Hashtag roof breakup. Then he starts tweeting quotes. Girl, I'm not looking for marriage, just what's right below marriage. And the guy said, your roommates are fucking assholes. That's because the girl wanted to move in with the guy. Then the girl tried to trick the guy into letting her move in with him. Don't let them live with me then. That's what the girl says. He doesn't fall for the trick. And he says, not on the roof. And then it got heated. They both say, you'll never let me talk. Which I love that they said it at the same time. Then the girl said, I can't be with some who is so ugh. What ugh? Stop. that's anger speak right there. Then the guy comes back with, everyone told me New York wasn't for me. And then the girl says, you're so cruel sometimes. And then the guy keeps getting texts, so he's stopping to read them. And he says, it's a text from my coworker, a work text. And then she's suspicious, so she says, let me read it then. Give me the phone. And the guy says, you don't need to see my phone to trust me.
Yeah, that was another chick. When he's saying, you can't move in, there's another chick around.
Well, not necessarily, but at this point in the fight, yeah. The guy then says, I just sometimes want to hang out with my friends and my, not your friends, which she is baffled. She said, I can't understand that.
I want to fuck some other chicks. And I can't do that with you in the apartment.
Then the guy says, okay, so those were the only times I lied to you, right? We can agree on that.
You don't know about the other chicks, so I didn't lie to you about them.
But here's the thing. The guy is sensitive about what he wears. He said, say something else about my fucking wardrobe.
Wow.
Then she really starts asking the questions. You know how women get into the real interrogation mode?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She said, do you see yourself living with me within a year? His reply, I can't think in terms like that. Time and shit, Rachel.
Wow. You are a booty call.
He then goes, you think I'm immature? Calling people immature is immature.
Yes. He has other women.
Then the girl replies, my roommates are always like, where's your boyfriend? And I'm like, and stuff.
Yeah.
Then Kyle, who's live tweeting this, notes, the guy is four cigarettes deep into this conversation right now. The girl then says, "Do you love me?" And then the guy, who appears to be very good at avoiding questions, says, "Look, I'm not a guy who's into labels, Rachel. You knew that getting in. You knew that getting in."
I got other women. Other women.
Then she says, "Answer a fucking question." And then all of a sudden he goes, the guy goes, "I don't think we need to talk about this up here with some random guy over there." And he goes, "Uh-oh, I'm that guy over here." But then she says, "He's just sitting on his fucking phone. He doesn't care. Answer my question." And then she says, "Seriously, this is embarrassing. I'm done. This is all hashtag roof breakup." And then, like out of a movie, let's pretend the wind blew his hair back. Rachel disappears around the corner into the stairwell. Guy takes a puff on his cigarette and turns to the Manhattan skyline. Rachel is gone. Guy pulls out his phone and starts texting. And that's pretty much it. There's no chasing after.
He had other women.
That's right. He had other options. So that's what happens when you live tweet a breakup in Manhattan. I thought that was awesome. Now, it doesn't snow everywhere here in California. It snows up in the mountains. But we don't have to deal with the bad winter weather like they do in South Dakota. They came up with a creative new driving safety PSA that they thought would get everyone's attention. But they ended up having to pull it off the air after people wouldn't stop laughing at their headline. Let's take a listen to the PSA.
Hello and welcome to Driving Proper. Today's lesson, staying the course. Winter driving can be treacherous. Should your tire leave a snowy or icy road, resist the urge to jerk the steering wheel. Overcorrecting only results in chaos. And besides, nobody likes a jerker. Instead, stay the course. Slowly let off the gas and re-enter only after regaining control. Now that's proper driving. Discover more winter driving tips at don'tjerkanddrive.com.
That's right, don'tjerkanddrive.com.
Depends on how hard you're jerking.
People can tell you're jerking from the other car. You're doing it too hard. So, yeah, South Dakota's Department of Public Safety spent a lot of money on that, and then they pulled it because this is an important safety message, and I don't want this innuendo to distract from the goal to save lives on the road. So,
I want you to know you were jerking too hard.
Jerking too hard. Well, Stephen Colbert is done on the Colbert Report. It's gone. And a new show is coming its way to fill the airwaves or your cable waves after The Daily Show. It's called The Nightly Show with Larry Wilmore, and they've released their first promo. Here's what that is.
What are the specials on the late night menu?
They're pretty much all the same.
You don't have anything different?
If you're looking for something different, may I suggest the Wilmore? It has extra nightliness. Hi, I'm Larry Wilmore, host of the new Nightly Show with Larry Wilmore.
Who?
Larry Wilmore. I'm the host of the Nightly Show.
I thought you said it was a daily show.
Well, it is a daily show at night.
It's gonna be hilarious!
Ah!
It's about giving a voice to the underrepresented, to the underdog.
It's about time we got our own show.
Right, man? Brother's been kept out of late night.
Not for black people. For fat people.
Fat? Oh, selfie, absolutely. Well, technically, it's not a selfie because we're all in it. But
yeah!
We finally get to talk about the real issues. And we get to do it every night. I think everybody's having a little more. Extra nightliness. Most shows tell you what you should think. This show...
I just asked if you wanted more coffee.
Oh, sorry. Yes. That'd be great. And you know, I like my coffee like I like my shows. I'm with some half and half. That'd be awesome. Thank you.
I can't wait.
So that's coming January 19th. January
19th. Wait till the 19th.
There you go. So that's that is coming up. We'll see how good it is. I'm looking forward to it because when Colbert first started his show, I was like, how the hell is this going to last? Him just running over to his guests acting like a jackass? 9 years was the answer until he replaced Letterman. So, yeah.
I still can't believe he got picked to replace Letterman.
Yeah, it's an interesting choice. The more interesting choice was Craig Ferguson left his show, and they hired another British guy I've never heard of to take over. So that was the even stranger one. I'm like, you couldn't find a American guy of some I mean,
some American guy.
Yeah, doesn't have to be a white guy. Could be a Hispanic guy, Native American guy. Could be anybody. Nope, not another British guy. Yeah, whatever. So, anyway, let's move on to this.
They act, we decide. Cool or tool?
All right, first up in Cool or Tool, live tweeting things, Kareem.
Cool.
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Patton Oswalt does it a lot, and when he does it, it fills up your page, and that it can be too much. But in this case, it's cool. Up next in Cool or Tool, South Dakota.
Tool. They stole the Blackfoot's everything.
The Black Hills. Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah, if you're going to put out Don't Jerk and Drive, you got to stick with it, Tool. And finally, in Cooler Tool, The Nightly Show. The Nightly Show.
I have been waiting for this. This is fucking cool. This is Fonzie cool.
Yeah, I think it is going to be cool. I like Larry Wilmore. He has grown on me as a comedian as The Daily Show has gone on. I didn't think he was like the funniest guy I've ever seen, but he's just got a slow burn to him. And I think the cleverness is going to show through, and I'm looking forward to The Nightly Show.
Well, he wrote the Bernie Mac show. He created the Bernie Mac show.
Okay.
Amongst other things. He's been around for forever. You just didn't know that he was there.
Behind the scenes.
Behind
guy.
The scenes, yeah.
Yeah.
And I watched some of his old stand-up. He's actually pretty funny.
No, like I said, he's one of those guys that has grown on me. Yeah. Like when it first came out, I was like, I'm not really sure. And it was probably partially because he was being put into a role on The Daily Show where it was like, how is he going to fit in? Is he going to find his voice? Is he going to be able? Because other than Lewis Black, who just basically went on The Daily Show and ranted the way he always does.
I love Lewis.
Everybody sort of tries to fit in their spot. So it'll be interesting. I'm kind of curious how they're going to format the show and how everything's going to play out. But a lot of cool things coming in January.
Yeah, like the Chitlin Circuit Art Exhibit.
Exactly. When does that debut?
January 10th.
And where?
The Brick House Art Gallery.
Excellent. How much is that going to cost people if they want to go see it?
Opening, most of the time, is free. So the opening exhibit is free. The movie nights are like $3. Comedy is $10, and that's on the 10th and the 16th. I mean, the 16th and the 30th. And poetry is on the 23rd, and that's $5.
Yeah, that's a hell of a deal. For a night of entertainment, you're not going to beat that. So, excellent. Hey, by the way, it's after Christmas now. There's stuff you wanted for Christmas that you didn't get. We all know that. So, if you're going to be shopping around on Amazon anyway, please go to NateDarlingShow.com first. Click that Shop Amazon tab. And then shop away to your heart's content. It helps support the show. It doesn't cost you anything extra. And we do appreciate it. Thank you very much.
And you can buy your first your gift for the first day of Kwanzaa, which is Umojo. I was right.
Okay.
Which is Unity.
There you go.
And we need some of that.
Yeah, we do. My God. go ahead and do that. We had a rough time. I was looking and I'm like, all right, we're getting close to a certain amount of money for December. And I'm like, yeah. And it was like $20 for the month of December in commissions. And all of a sudden I went back and logged on and it went down. I'm like, how did that happen? Somebody returned something.
Oh, damn.
Somebody returned something. And then they subtracted the commission right out of there. I was like, oh, well.
Damn you, Amazon.
Damn you, person who returned your Amazon Fire phone.
Buy something else.
That's right. That's $7 and change in commission we're not getting now. That's how we support the show. That's how we pay for the internet and all the other stuff that we do here to give you free shows every week. So radio icon Casey Kasem has finally been put in the ground 6 months after he died. Almost 6 months anyway. A rep for the legend's daughter, Carrie Kasem, confirmed to ABC News that he was buried by his wife, Jean, in Norway last week without consulting any of his children. Quote, Jean buried him without telling the kids. She does not have to tell them since she is the conservator over his remains, though. Kasem, who is married twice, has four children. He died at the age of 82 on June 15th. He married Jean, who is 60 now. back in 1980. In recent years, the radio personality's health has declined, and in 2013, his daughter Carrie said he was suffering from a form of dementia. Carrie and the other children were not happy that their father was buried outside of Glendale, California, where Carrie had said in late June on The View was where he had requested his remains be buried. Clearly, the family is not happy, but they're also at peace knowing that they got to spend his final moments with him. That's according to the rep. Gene Kasem has not responded to a request for comment by ABC, but in the weeks leading up to Casey's death, she and his children, including Carrie, had been embroiled in a legal battle over his health care. Finally, in early June, a judge ruled that Carrie would take over the care for Casey, who clearly expressed his desire to die very peacefully and comfortably in this matter. And that's according to the attorney. He died a few days later. There's allegations that Gene Kasem was neglecting him, and now there will never be an autopsy because
he was out of the country.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was never embalmed either. He passed away, and they shipped his body to Norway, and it was just sitting there basically decomposing.
Ew.
For 6 months, yeah.
Ah,
but that's bad.
Let's not remember Casey that way. That's the wrong way. Let's remember Casey as he was behind the mic, losing his temper.
We're up to our long-distance dedication, and this one is about kids and pets and a situation that we can all understand, whether we have kids or pets or neither. It's from a man in Cincinnati, Ohio, and here's what he writes. Dear Casey, this may seem to be a strange dedication request, but I'm quite sincere, and it'll mean a lot if you play it. Recently, there was a death in our family. He was a little dog named Snuggles, but he was most certainly a part of... Let's come start again. From coming out of the record. Play the record, okay? Please. See, when you come out of those up-tempo goddamn numbers, man, it's impossible to make those transitions. And then you got to go into somebody dying. You know, they do this to me all the time. I don't know what the hell they do it for, but goddamn it, if we can't come out of a slow record, I don't understand it. Is Don on the phone? Okay, I want a goddamn concerted effort to come out of a record that isn't a fucking up-tempo record every time I do a goddamn death dedication. Now, make it, and I also want to know what happened to the pictures I was supposed to see this week. This is a last goddamn time I want somebody to use his fucking brain to not come out of a goddamn record that is that's up-tempo, and I got to talk about a fucking dog dying.
Give me a fucking answer!
You know, with all of that bluster, Casey was absolutely right. He should not have to come out of an up-tempo goddamn number when he has to talk about a fucking dog dying. It's impossible to do right.
Somebody used their fucking brain.
It's the last goddamn time. So safe home, Casey Kasem. There's a new tradition in Ireland. Pubs and beer are legendary, but the country's traditional drinking holes are experiencing a new phenomenon. The 12 days of Christmas have turned into the 12 pubs of Christmas, visited all in one night. To pass the threshold of the true Irish pub is to enter a blessed world far from our darkest modern woes. The burgundy colors of wood, along with the stained and etched glass, create a comforting, seductive atmosphere. After 4 years spent real publicis abroad, I have returned to Ireland for run-up for Christmas, my throat almost cracking with emotion. It emits two magical words, two pints, please. That's right. They're doing a pub crawl for Christmas.
Oh, gosh. In Ireland?
Yeah, in Ireland. A real Irish pub crawl. Here's the thing. There's a picture of the people doing it, and they look just like our hipsters with their ugly sweaters. Young men in beards, young girls with their heads cocked gently to the side with stupid grins on their face. No matter where you go around the world, hipsters are the same. Drinking their beer with their beards and their weird hats.
Where did they come from?
I don't know. It's
somebody should do a documentary on
it's
that.
Right. I think it's all part of the desire to belong to a group or a movement, whether you can or not, and so it just sort of rose with that and working really hard to seem like you don't care. I found this interesting. There are international refugees coming to the United States all the time, including to Minnesota. And the headline in this article is International Refugees Learn U.S. Winter Survival Skills. Because if you've lived your entire life in a Thai refugee camp, and then you get on a plane to Minnesota wearing flip-flops, it's going to be kind of a culture shock.
That is true.
Yeah. The guy that happened to remain sockless in frigid toe-curling temperatures while attending a winter survival class in his new home of St. Paul, Minnesota.
Oh.
Resettlement workers offered him snow boots and cold weather tips, but he remained anxious about getting through his first real winter. He said, "I'm worried." That's what he said in his native Karen language. "I never saw this kind of weather." No kidding. You're from Thailand. It's
you
always
should be worried if you ain't got on a goddamn flip-flops.
Lose some toes on that. See, every year the U.S. Welcomes tens of thousands of refugees from all over the world, and about 2,000 of them come to Minnesota. Many of those refugees are from warm climates and seeking a better life in one of the coldest states in the country. And with a ruthless winter already underway, the latest arrivals in Minnesota are learning to survive the Arctic sting. Lessons on how to bundle up and use a thermostat are part of the cultural orientation offered by the International Institute of Minnesota. Yeah, I mean,
it should be a way to get your nuts out of your chest. That should be a class.
They have a slideshow featuring mittens and boots, pictures of them. More than a dozen new refugees, most of them with ethnic Karen from Myanmar, also known as Burma.
How do you say my nuts are in my chest in Karen?
It's an international sign language. Adapting to winter will be a huge part of their integration in a state that prides itself on bad weather hardiness. But the adjustment can be tough. That's according to a case manager who arrived in 2009. So the first year will be difficult. To go to school to find a job, you have to struggle in the snow. The kids are happy, but for the adults, it's really hard. The newcomers trade smiles, mentioning the runny noses, numb fingers, and headaches they've experienced in their new climate. Some faces recoil at one slide on the screen, a picture of a man whose swollen hands look like purple fingerling potatoes. This is what frostbite looks like.
Oh, damn.
It's ugly. Yeah. With that cautionary tale, they take the newcomers outside onto a large frozen patch.
Does that mean you should pee on your hands and keep them warm?
They take them out to the parking lot where they learn an essential Minnesota skill, how to tread cautiously across the ice. Oh, boy. Can you imagine? You've lived your whole life in, I mean, you've moved around some, and we're from North Carolina, and you had some sort of winter there.
Yeah, we had snow sometimes, but to go from what we had to the blizzard, no.
And then to not speak the language at all.
Yes, no.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
You say, I'm freezing my dick off.
But at least someone's doing something nice to get them, you know, all set up. All right. Let's take a look at some Florida Corner now real quick. only in Florida. From Riviera Beach, Florida. Police responded to a 911 call early on Wednesday. They found a man asleep behind the wheel of his car with his engine running. That's according to the arrest report. Who called that driver into police? Actually, he did. he told police he called 911 through the OnStar system in his vehicle. When they woke him up, the 21-year-old had his foot on the brake and had, and quote, an overpowering smell of alcoholic beverage coupled with slurred speech and bloodshot eyes. Police said that Malley nearly fell out of his car as he was getting out, had his pants fall down at the beginning of a road sobriety test, and had an accident while undergoing a sobriety test.
Oh, wow. How drunk is that?
Police labeled his attitude as sarcastic. When asked when he began drinking, he replied, at 14 years old. That's funny. He told police he didn't know what day or time it was. He lists his occupations on the
time
arrest.
Time for me to change my pants.
That's right. It's time to change the pants. His occupation? Diamond dealer. He's facing a charge of DUI, was released from jail on his own recognizance.
Oh, wow.
I've been drinking. That was 14.
Since I was 14.
That is funny. All right, this is a very serious report. There were some guys who are stealing an ATM, and they use their truck to smash into a convenience store to steal it. That's not funny. What is kind of funny is the neighbor who ran out to try and stop them.
That is kind of funny.
he spoke with the local Fox station in Tampa.
I run straight out the street to holler, "Wait, help! 911! Somebody call 911! Door being broken into!"
Okay, Kareem, let's play a game. Guess the race. Is that a white guy, a black guy, or a Hispanic guy?
That's a white guy.
That is a white guy.
Well, that guy jumped into action after a couple of crooks went looking for some fast cash.
I had to listen to it for a second.
Accused
of
stealing that ATM right there is under arrest. The other still out there somewhere. Good evening. I'm Cynthia Smoot in for Mark Wilson.
And I'm Kelly Ring. Thanks for being with us, everybody. And two men teamed up to steal that ATM from the sub-mini market on Orient
like
Road in
guy
Tampa.
Saw him
bonanza
today.
Camera. You just saw that from start to finish.
No.
Fox 13's Michael Shingleton is
okay,
here now.
The guy comes up later in the story with a lot more great sound.
This is
so let's listen to the story.
Camera you see behind me, the sheriff's office released. They've already arrested one guy so far, and they're hoping to identify the other man involved in stealing that ATM.
There are smash and grab burglaries, and then there's this, a stolen Jeep Grand Cherokee barreling through the front of a neighborhood store. Two guys on the hunt for an ATM.
Scared the hell out of me.
Billy Webb was sleeping next door.
I thought somebody got killed. It sounded like a wreck. It's a loud crash.
Naturally, Billy ran outside.
I said, damn. That vehicle backing into the building.
At the time, Billy didn't know what was going on inside until he walked over and saw an ATM flipping end over end.
I said, God, what in the world are y'all doing? And they're dragging the ATM machine out the door.
Billy tried getting answers. Then one of the guys charged at him.
He didn't say a word. He just coming toward me shaking his fist.
You can see here Billy walk away from the suspects.
I was in my underwear and barefooted. I run straight out and straight to Holland. Wait, help! 911! Somebody call 911! Door being broken into! Door being broken into!
Several other neighbors heard Billy and also ran outside while the two suspects sped off. A day later, Tampa police found the stolen Grand Cherokee here and arrested 37-year-old Dwayne Chambers.
It was pretty easy to link him to the crime, being that the ATM machine was found right in his residence.
Investigators also found a box full of items, and you can see the Jeep's bumper is still out front. They're still looking for the other masked man, and Billy would love to ask them why.
Why would anybody want to walk in that store and steal something?
It's an ATM, that's why.
Why would anybody want to walk into that store and steal anything?
Why would you want to steal an ATM?
Why? 911! 911!
Now, honestly, now we're laughing at Billy, but honestly, wouldn't you love to have him as your neighbor? Because if anything goes down, you know he's going to be out there yelling, getting flagging people down, having them call the cops.
Help! 911!
911!
Help!
He'll go barefoot in his underwear. Go out. And the story gets even more Florida when they find the ATM in the guy's house.
Really, you were stupid enough to bring the. How did they even know that? How did you think you was gonna get an ATM in your house without nobody noticing?
Especially with the bumper from the Jeep out in front on the trash. Anyway, that further up the coast in New Jersey. I just love this headline: man dressed as elf charged with DWI. He was dressed as one of Santa's little helpers, found himself in trouble when Riverdale police allegedly discovered him drunkenly passed out in his car. See, around 3:30 a.m., Sergeant Pat Harden was dispatched to the parking lot of a Target after receiving a report of a suspicious vehicle. Harden located the car, a gray Toyota van, parked by the store's loading dock with its engine running lights on and music blaring. By the way, if you're going to pass out drunk in your car, that's not how to do it. The driver, Brian Chellis, who's 23, was asleep behind the wheel wearing an elf on the shelf costume. After shutting off the car's engine and walking and waking Chellis, the sergeant detected a strong odor of alcoholic beverage on his breath. Further observed that Chellis seemed confused over his whereabouts and had an open can of beer inside the car. Following a series of field sobriety tests, he was transported to police headquarters for a breath test. They issued him a summons for driving while intoxicated, careless driving, and possession of an open container of alcohol in a motor vehicle. He was released to a family member pending a January 6th municipal court appearance. So, there you go. It's, I guess it's drunk driving season? Should never be. It's not okay to be drunk driving. Let me just say that. Right?
Right.
That's right. But if you're going to, please be passed out by the loading dock in an Elf on the Shelf costume. Oh, God.
Was there a mugshot in there?
There was a shot of him in the costume. they took a picture of him at the scene. So there is that. All right. It's time to wrap up the show. I'll give a little bit of a shorter show today because, well, it's just the two of us. It's the holidays. You get a show anyway, for God's sake.
Exactly.
So let's wrap it up with some small town news. Hold on. There we go.
Don't let the big world overwhelm you. Let's get small. Small town news.
Oh, there's Sam. Yeah, when he remembered there was a show. this is from Speak Out. I do not understand why the Press Republican continues to give J.W. Wiley a public forum. When J.W. Wiley exclaimed another person's point of view is bullshit, it showed that he is closed-minded as the racist he rails against. Also, to the fellow who pulled up to the pumps to gas up with a cigarette hanging out of your mouth, if you want to blow yourself up, that's fine, but please don't take innocent bystanders with you.
I have to agree with him on that.
And this is actually in here. Have you not seen the movie Zoolander?
I don't have to say Zoolander. Like, get your ass away from me.
You know what? I'm going to close on that because I don't think it can top. Have you seen the movie Zoolander? That's going to do it for Small Town News. That's going to do it for this episode of the Nate Darling Show.
Let's get it on.
Yeah. Yeah. Y'all can come along. We've got our year-end show coming up on Tuesday, and find out what our goals are, what our regrets are, what our best and worst moments of 2014 were. That's coming up on the show on Tuesday. Between now and then, everybody have a great weekend. Don't drink and drive or pass out with an Elf on the Shelf costume or anything like that. Just be good. Be nice to yourself and each other. And don't end up like Casey Kasem in the ground in Norway. All right. Peace out. For Kareem. I'm Nate. We'll see you next time.
Keep it. As the girls walk by, if the cops roll up, pour the cops a cup, because everybody's here tonight. Call a taxi, pack the backseat. I wouldn't have it any other way. If you're with me, let me hear you say, I like it like that. Cause the girls playing beer pong, get it back. We having fun partying till the break of dawn. Go grab a cup, I don't know what people waiting on. And I'm gonna want a girl that I know I can take home. In the zone, where I think I had lost my phone. You can tell by looking in the party, straight crack. And don't worry about girls, cause I like it like. I'm max painted at my grandma's house. Only your clothes over there, that's grandma couch. I be filming the friends too, yeah, I'm back on that. Double D chicks hugging, I got racks on racks. Like, the luxuries of a superstar. I'm just trying to chill with Molly at the hookah bar. You like cartoons, I make a hard mouse with a seatbelt. Put it in the car. I like it like that.